G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist, Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path.
G'day golfers and good morning, SJ.
Very good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
And happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Muchas gracias.
Yep. Next year, senior PGA.
Senior, yeah. Ooh. Next year we can do this.
Yeah.
Actually, next year, because the senior US Open, the entries are still open.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah.
Well, they were last week.
Yeah.
So that's bizarre. I could do the senior US Open next
year.
Yeah,
it'd be pretty cool.
Lay down that gauntlet. How are you? How's your week? You have the in-laws in town.
So we're eating well, walking around a lot.
Do you eat Dutch meals when the in-laws are in town?
Yes and no. So Dutch food doesn't have a huge, strong cuisine. They mostly have kind of snacks and things, at a bar, a lot of fried foods and that sort of thing. And cheese, of course, which everyone knows. But I think the way they eat is different. So Dutch people often will have for lunch or breakfast just bread and cheese, like a slice of bread, cheese on it, and
just smash it.
That's it. Yeah. So that we have a little bit of course.
And what are they? Do they? Are the in-laws? What are your in-laws' names?
Rahab and Sophie.
Rahab and Sophie. Are they doing the New York City thing? They've done it before.
Yeah, they've been here before, so they're touring around a little bit, seeing some things. They're going to the spa today out on Governor's Island.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's great having them around.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, shout out, guys. Are they coming in? Rob's a big boy, right?
Yeah.
6'4", you said?
Gotta get him taking some swings.
Yeah, gotta get him in.
Got some long levers.
And Mrs., does Marie's mum play?
No.
Oh, we should get her in.
Never has. But the Netherlands, funny we bring it up, which I find kind of fascinating, you have to take a certification course to play golf.
What?
On etiquette and pace of play and just taking care of the course. And here, I mean, there's sometimes you're out there on a muni here that you wish maybe there was an etiquette course.
So you played last week with the boys, members here, and you said it took how long?
Two weeks ago? Yeah, there's a 5:30 round.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. And so...
Do they have marshals?
Yeah, but they just don't really pay attention or do much. Hmm.
5:30, that's a 5 hours, 30 minutes. That's a long time to concentrate.
Pretty bad, yeah, no kidding. And you just stop and go, so you have no rhythm at all.
Yeah, that's hard. Like when obviously Sean and I are vested to make everyone break 80 here, which we're slowly getting to, but when you ask someone how do they play and they're like, oh, I didn't play too well on the weekend or whatever, sometimes they neglect to say, oh, I had 10,000 beers because it was a Bucks weekend, or it was 5.5 hour round, which does make it hard.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially if you're sitting in a golf cart for big portions of that, you're just going to get stiff and tight as you wait.
Yeah, so. Totally. So again, we get out of that golf cart. I do love the one where they don't mention they're on a Bucks weekend. And they're like, you know, Shauno, we're doing the SJ thing, they're doing the SY thing, and they're keen to go play. They didn't tell us that they were on a Bucks weekend having 1,000 beers.
You know, the last few holes really blew up on
me. I was 2 over with 6 to play, and I finished triple-triple because I had 3 Bloody Marys on the 15th. Yeah. Anyway, news from the fairways. What do we have? DP Tour. Yep. We had the Volvo Open. We had the Spanish man, Adrian Atagui. I hope we pronounced that right, Adrian.
Yeah, a tough one. For
he's had 5 wins, 31-year-old, played well.
Pretty cool, yeah.
Liv Brooks.
Yeah, back in the winner's circle.
Back in the winner's circle, 15-under in Singapore.
Yep.
Noel PGA. And then PGA Tour, we wanted to spend a little bit of time on, and as we bring in our little props here, we wanted just to explain a little bit about what we saw on the PGA Tour. So what do we have? We had Taylor Pendrith win. He's a Canadian. First win on tour. A bit of a journeyman.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, been there, I think, 7, 8, 9 years, and it was his first win, 23-under, and he got it done.
Yeah, and on 18, we had a... bit of a dicey situation for Ben Coles.
How was your boy, Minwoo Lee? He's just getting it done again.
Yeah, tied 24th.
Yeah, 15 under.
15 under, which solid. Pretty solid.
Will Zalatoris, I hope he's okay. Mm-hmm. I always kind of brain goes to hope his back's okay. Cut was 4 under, like a pretty solid cut.
Yeah, yeah, well below par.
It's funny, I've just, for some reason, been watching Jordan a little bit and comparing where he was 5 years ago, and I can't help but think when he hit those poor chips on 12 at Augusta, his whole mojo changed.
Yeah.
But he's certainly not where he needs to be.
Yeah, there's been moments where he, I think even last year, had a win down in Texas and feels like, all right, he's back in form, but then he's just been a bit bobbing up and down.
That's a good analogy. He's bobbing up and down a little bit, and I just think he's phenomenal, and I just hope that whatever's his thing, it wouldn't surprise me if fatherhood's just flipped him upside down a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Big thing. But I would just, he seems like such a good guy, and I just would love him to get back playing.
Yeah, and fun to watch when he's playing well, because there's excitement around every corner.
Yeah, and him and Gola, seems a good dude, and they're I just love everything about them.
Yep.
So hopefully, Jordan, if you're listening, you can get back to where you were 5 or 6 years ago. When you won that British Open, that was, I just loved watching that.
Yeah.
So next, Major's right around the corner, so that's going to be good fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice we get a little dip after the Masters. Yeah. It's quiet a little bit, but then right back to.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about short game, because also we've leaned heavily into the movement component of swing and what we believe, and we wanted to back it out a little bit and talk about, and it just so happened that Mr. Coles, Ben Coles, hadn't had a win on PGA Tour and really should have won that event, and I'm never Monday quarterbacking because I was never on main tour and these guys are.
Yeah.
But that said, that should have been a slam dunk for him.
To be a few yards from the green in the rough.
So let's back it up. So he doesn't hit the ball brilliantly, young Ben. He whips it inside with his face open. What's the rule of golf? Face must be close to path to control flight. So he's always going to be an open like a Justin Thomas. He's always going to be a bit inconsistent. But the poor lad didn't hit it very far. So he's hitting 3 wood. So to back it up, it's a par 5. He's leading by 1. He should have been able to get 3 wood there. It was about 250 to the green. He hits it just short of the bunker. So he's only got about a 30-yard chip. And then Taylor, who had like 5-iron in.
Yeah.
So he was always going to hit the green when he's hitting 5-iron or 6-iron ins and Ben's hitting 3 wood. So he's under pressure a little bit, but he's up by 1.
Yeah.
So Ben, who eventually won the event, hits at the back of the green. Just a good conservative. Hey, I presume his caddy said, let's just get this thing on.
Yeah, yeah.
Two part at worst to make a playoff.
Yeah.
Force Ben to get up and down. Now, this is where it got a little wry, and this is what we were hoping to talk about. So this is what we were hoping to talk about was just, we're going to start to talk a little bit about theory, and then we'll back it up and have some chips. But young Ben hit the par 5 just short of the green. So his ball's sitting down, it's on a slope, and he's literally just got to get over a bunker. As Sean and I will keep letting you guys know, every ball flight, whether it's a little chip, has a math equation. Young Ben just missed the green. He's short of the bunker. The bunker's on an angle, and anytime the green or the grass is on an angle, the angle of attack gets really steep. Now, young Ben, for someone, if we're looking down the camera here, if you take the club up and back like a Ferris wheel, rather than in and around like a merry-go-round. So young Ben takes the club inside and open, which I think, 70% of golfers are inside and open?
The most common thing we see,
Most common thing. And I think that's Golf Pro included. So if he's now hitting up a slope and he's swinging like a merry-go-round and he's literally trying to hit me on camera, you can see that the actual club face very rarely points to where he's trying to hit the golf ball.
Just for a split second.
A split second.
Yeah.
Whereas if he swings more like a Ferris wheel, which is how we teach in here, the club face shown on the camera is pointing to the target all day long.
The entire time, yeah.
So I think, Ben, if you're listening, mate, we'd love to help you out, and I think we can improve your math. But if we get back to his specific shot, what we try to do in here is work backwards. Victor Hovland's hitting this spin shot that a lot of guys hit, and I know mathematically that we've got to launch that, and I've written it down here, we've got to launch that 30-yard pitch. It's got to launch below 30 degrees. The club face loft is 47 degrees. The attack angle's down 15, and you've got to spin it at about 5,500 RPM. So working backwards, some of my clients are like, I want to hit that that spinny shot.
Yeah.
So we know the math, we teach them the body, we make sure they move, we make sure their technique's pretty good, and then they can hit that shot. So that's how swing has developed. We're very different to, I think, every other golf pro in that we look at the math first, work out what the body needs to do, mm-hmm. work out what equipment has. We combine body and mechanics, and then we produce the math. It's so simple. It sounds technical, but it's really simple.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do is just explain a little bit about short game. Mm-hmm. And I think young Ben, he should have chipped that up to 4 or 5 feet all day long.
So he kind of caught it a bit heavy.
He caught it
and
heavy.
It went short right, and he's still in the
and
rough.
He still had a really hard up and down, which he did eventually miss the putt, so the pressure was off. But every time you have a short game event to occur, so anything under about 60 yards, you should mathematically know how to play that shot. And it's really simple. It comes down, so I'm just going to position myself. It comes down to sternum, which is where your chin is, which is where I believe, unless you're trying to manipulate it, the chin is where the club hits the ground. So we've got chin, ball, and low point. And then we've got the bounce of the sand iron. So we've got four things, and you and I talk about this all day long, and hopefully it's something we brought to your game, is just short game understanding.
Yeah.
And every golfer should be able to chip and pitch like a golf pro, because there's not a lot of skill needed. It's repetitive, it's rote learning. But I think those four things aren't talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got, you know, the Chipping Bible, which is a book this thick. It's really not that hard.
Yeah.
It's ball relative to sternum. Sternum's where the club hits the ground. So if the ball's in front of the sternum, the club will hit the ground first, then the ball, and then low point's lead shoulder, left shoulder for a right-handed golfer, right shoulder for a left-handed golfer. Yeah. So we've got where the club hits the ground, where your sternum is, low point, and what that means is the club's hitting the ground where my sternum is. If for this instance, like Ben had, his sternum was behind the ball, the club's going to dig straight underneath the ground, and then the ball is going to then rotate and have a launch angle how the face is sitting at the point of impact. And that's where bounce of a sand iron is crucial. And we think at the bounce of a sand iron, there's nothing on the market that we like. So Swing's building their own. This is our new prototype. It's a 3D print. So we're so strongly believing in bounce that we've actually built our own. They're going to be the Swing wedges. That's what the prototype looks like. It's pretty cool. So we've got the bounce of the club, how it reacts with the turf, where the club hits relative to the ball, which is ball and sternum. And then how the club hits the ground and how it reacts depends on how it launches. And if you can control those three things, golf's really simple.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Benny let that go and he hit way too much ground. Because he's coming round like a merry-go, he had so much loft on the club, the ball went straight up in the air and he went straight underneath it because it was quite floppy
ground.
It just
depends a lot on timing.
And a lot on timing.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is say, hey, short game is really simple. Again, just to go over it, because we know that sometimes we get a bit quick.
Mm-hmm.
The sternum's where the club hits the ground, unless you're trying to manipulate something, right? Chin, nose, sternum. Once you set that ball to chin, it doesn't move. Chin behind, ground first. Chin ahead, ball first, ball rolls up the face, then the club hits the ground where my chin is. The club, believe it or not, continues to work on a downward angle to my left shoulder, and then the club starts working up. So if I put this right on camera, it's a little technical, but it's pretty simple. The club's going to be working on a downward angle. In this case, my chin is slightly ahead of the ball, so the club's going to hit the ball first. The ball is then going to roll up the face as the club works down to my sternum. At sternum, the club starts working down to low point, which is left shoulder. Meanwhile, the ball's going up in the air. And then at left shoulder, the club starts working up and to the left. Mm-hmm. Down and to the right, up and to the left. And so understanding that ball, sternum, bounce, and low point, they're four things that sound really technical, mm-hmm. but it's really simple once you get it. What have you taken from short game, and how's that influenced your game type of thing?
Well, it's just been huge to have like a framework for each shot. So as you mentioned before, you know, if you understand the math equation, then the scenario you're putting on the course when you're chipping is something that you should be able to work backwards from, and then always feel good about your shot.
You should always feel good about. That's a good. That's a
so
good
I know for me, if I'm uncomfortable over the ball or I'm undecided, it won't go well.
Yeah,
almost 100% of the time. But if I have the framework to say, okay, this is the situation I'm in, this is the shot I should hit, instead of this is the shot I want to hit,
yeah,
then good chance it's effective. So the one big thing I've taken from you, especially when we've been out on course, is like let the lie determine what 1,000% shot you need to
we're
hit.
We're going to have a shot in a second.
Yeah.
But
so
can I get you to
the
say
conditions
that again?
Make the decision for yeah. you. And same with, you know, when I'm working with people, like what we find in the assessment determines what should be done. It's not, oh, I want to do this with you. It's this is just what we see and this is what needs to be addressed.
Yeah, so we've got at swing, so this is my high bounce prototype and this is my low bounce. And you'll see that the bounce is very different. The problem we've got in the industry is that club manufacturers of the Big Five are listening to tour players, and unfortunately, tour players play a completely different topography, being material, grass, than most of us.
Yeah.
But you've got tour players suggesting what environments they play on, influencing finance guys on what decisions to make on their golf clubs. And so, proudly, the swing equipment's going to be influenced by us who play, myself who played on tour, and we're actually building the golf club, so it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. You've got to have one high bounce and one low bounce. And the high bounce, which in this case is super bounce, high bounce is going to dig less, low bounce is going to dig more. And so, as to your point exactly, SJ, whenever you get a chip shot, the first thing one should do is take a swing and get a feel for what that club is doing on the grass.
And that's one thing you really see the pros do often, almost every
They'll
time.
They'll take 30 swings.
They bring a bunch of clubs and they really make sure they're confident about what's going on in the ground and the lie, and then from there.
And then from there go. So actually getting back to last week when Ramey and Trainer had that chip shot, he was into the grain. If you remember the foursomes with Rory and...
Yeah.
There was water over the back. And he should have realized that the club grabbed. So he should have gone straight to his high bounce.
Yeah.
Because if the club is grabbing and you use your low bounce, if you're a 60 chipper, which a lot of guys are, because on tour they've got beautiful hands, when you've got a low bounce that digs and grainy grass, that's a disaster to flub it.
Club's just going to stop dead.
And everyone's like, he choked. Well, no, he probably didn't choke. He just didn't have the right club in his hand for the topography and the shot he was trying to play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's back it up again. Whenever you take the club out of the bag, the first thing you should do, every chip with inside 60 yards, even a pitch, what's the grass doing? Is it down grain if you're in Florida? Into the grain? Is it rock hard? Is it fluffy? From there, do I want to hit, so I'm on camera, do I want to hit ball ahead of sternum? I go sternum behind ball, ground first. Sternum ahead of ball, ball first. Mm-hmm. Remember to go over it again. If my ball is ahead of sternum, the club comes down, it hits the ground, it starts digging, the face is moving for a right-handed golfer, the face is moving right, hits the ground, then it grabs the ball rolls up the face, believe it or not. And as the club hits the ground, if the club has bounce, velocity continues. If the club doesn't have bounce, it digs. As it digs, it adds loft, usually, sometimes it slows. As it adds loft, the ball launch angle increases and the velocity decreases. So a low bounce club, like a 60, you hit high and soft, not because of the loft, but because of the lack of bounce. Mm-hmm. And then at low point, the club changes direction and starts moving up and to the left for a right-handed golfer.
Yeah. Which is all, I feel like when you're listening to this.
It's going
to
be a lot.
It's a lot at first. So could we talk over kind of, we'll make it simple at first, but an ideal scenario where low bounce gives you an advantage, an ideal scenario where high bounce.
Sure, let's go do it. So we're going to take the camera and we're just going to, we built swing to have different, obviously we're on synthetic grass, but we've got, I put different carpet underlays to simulate PGA Tour, Shinnecock or the harder golf courses, Maidstone, National, and then like a Bolter's Roll or a Ferry Point. Here at Swing, Sean and I are pedantic on getting everyone to work with the T-square, both from a full swing, which we'll get to in later episodes, but here in short game. So the T-square, as I lay this down, sets the groundwork. I don't believe the human brain can work out where the ball is relative to my chin and nose because eye dominance, because we're using binocular vision, Everyone's a little different.
I know my brain doesn't do it well.
Yeah, and I certainly don't
do it well. I set up all over the place if I don't have something to keep me alive.
So I know mathematically that if my sternum is in front of this ball, I will hit ball first, ground second, low point third. Ben, on the weekend, hit too much ground first. The club stopped. I presume he used his 60. Because he's on an uphill slope, that ball went straight up in the air and the club got caught. Sternum behind, ground first, ball second. Because you're hitting the ground first, the club slows down. So if you can practice on a golf course, these are like $40, Home Depot, just buy one. They're phenomenal. Yep. And so then what we do at swing is that we start to create a routine. So I always get my guys and girls to chip with a T-square, and we simulate real course situations. So Velcro on, switch on, and if you practice this, golfers, you'll get this so quickly. Club comes out of the bag, as Ben did on the weekend, what topography have I got? So we've created, Sean and I have got carpet underlay that's like a fluffy lie, like our local courses, public tracks, Bolter's Roll. But then we also play Shinnecock, Maidstone, Friars Head, National, Rock Hard, Even Harder, and then PGA Tour. The first thing a golfer should do is test the surface. Am I using my high bounce or my low bounce? Mm-hmm. And for most golfers, it's going to be high bounce. So then I'm like, right, I've got my right club to react with the ground. Then I'm going to go, do I want my sternum ahead of ball or sternum behind? Mm-hmm. And then once you've got the right bounce and the right ball position relative to sternum, you never move forward or back in under 100 yards. Always keep the same relationship between sternum and ball. If you set up ball first, sternum ahead, keep it there. If you want to hit a ground first, sternum behind, keep it there. But most of my bunker play, most of my clients with poor bunker play, they set up with the sternum behind and then they move forward. And that's why they hit those 40-yard bunker shots.
Okay, where they catch it thin more.
They catch it thin.
Yeah.
Every time within 60, 70, 80 yards, your sternum never changes to ball. And then it's a really simple equation. Yeah. Let's do it again.
Yeah. So, as we're going through this, if I could stop you in the middle there, you set up for the ball, you figure out, okay, what bounce do I need?
Yep.
Now, we were talking earlier, the firmer conditions, we're going low bounce, right?
Firmer conditions, you need that club to spend a little more time on the deck, whether it's synthetic grass or real grass.
And then where is the cutoff point where you start thinking high bounce?
So I'm going to throw at you that if I've got my low bounce and high bounce,
yep,
95% of the time, I'm going to use my high bounce unless I'm playing on main tour fairways.
Okay. So if you're kind of unsure, probably safer to go
high
with
bounce.
High bounce.
Absolutely.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because we need that club to go down as you hit the ball, not up. Right? We want that club. And again, what's the physics behind it? As the club comes down, most people don't realize with their chipping, the ball's actually backspinning up the face as the club works downwards. So we need a downward motion, but with low bounce, the club stops too quickly. Mm-hmm. So we need the club to continue its velocity. Bounce controls velocity. That's the easiest way to think of it.
Yeah.
Right? So how do we do this? In a really simple 1, 2, 3, I've got the white rod here, just a driveway marker from Home Depot, $3. Every single golfer should practice. So I'm gonna use the driveway marker to show you. Club comes out of bag. What's the first thing I do? My Velcro is off, I'm just testing the surface. Right, so this, I can really feel how much that low bounce grabs the club. And now my brain goes into autopilot. Now you're gonna get sternum, ball, and bounce within what? 2 seconds, you'll get this very quickly. Mm-hmm. Now I put Velcro on, switch on, now I go into my routine. So right now I'm trying to chip to Rosie there. So I've picked my little spot on the green mat. Now I go into pre-shot routine under 10 seconds. First thing I do is check where my sternum is. So I'm going to be, actually, let's do a flop shot. I'm going to be sternum behind. I want to land it on the green mat. Create a feel, create a feel, create a feel. 2 or 3 practice swings, replicate a feel. Okay, perfect little flop shot. Where I think golfers go awry, and this is really big, guys mm-hmm. and girls, a lot of golfers have this big old practice swing, and then over the ball, they're trying to create feel. I believe everyone can chip like a tour player if they create the feel and then what we call in here, replicate. Mm-hmm. Say it again. Let's do a chip and run. So I've moved my sternum forward. I never lean because that changes angle of attack. I just walk my sternum. So sternum on ball, ground and ball at the same time. Sternum ahead of ball, ball first. Sternum behind ball, ground first. Really simple.
Yep.
Club comes out of bag, walk towards the camera. This is a sternum ahead, ball first. Now, instead of having this big old practice swing, I'm literally trying to hit it right here. I can actually put something on the ground to make sure I've got my little spot. Always chip to a spot. You want to leave it below the hole, so you've got an uphill putt. Create a feel, club goes in, one look at target, replicate. Perfect chip. Did I replicate the shot how I practiced it and you're good to go?
Yeah, make it pretty easy. So make a decision, assess the lie, get the feel,
grab
and then
the
go
bounce
for
and
it.
Go. Create, create, replicate.
Yeah. Yeah, no wasted time,
no
and,
wasted
and no
time.
Big decision to make, especially when you're standing over the ball.
No 2 minute routines, 10 yep. seconds. Beauty golfers, look, the work you put into your entire game means you can absolutely own your swing on the golf course.
Yeah.
Keep swinging, keep playing.
Yeah, good luck getting up and down this weekend.
Up and down, quick routine.